Welcome to Fiction Authors Talk Books, or Fat Books Podcast. This episode, I'm talking with the vivacious Lexi Winston about taking risks. This is a safe space for people of the industry to talk about the industry, the craft, and we'll definitely go off script. If you enjoy the podcast and would like to see your favorite author on here, send them this link, and they can get in touch with us at fatbookspodcast@gmail.com. We take all authors who write fiction and have been published as long as they're polite. Thanks for joining us, and on to the podcast. So, hello, hello.
Yes, hi. Thanks for having me again.
No, great to talk to you. So, yeah, you were saying, yeah, it is like a quarter of the year has already come and gone.
Come and gone, yeah. I have struggled with the muse, so to speak, this year. And no. I literally typed 22,000 words in the last 2 days. So, yeah,
it's been pretty struggling stressful. With the muse, in my opinion.
Well, considering that my editor had had the first three quarters of the book and she was waiting for the rest of it to get it finished before she went off on holidays, 22,000 words, I'd like, it was a struggle. Like, I had to finish the book to get it edited. So, you know, I had to force that. I was exhausted by the end.
Struggling for me is that I can't get the words out. So I get what you're, saying. Wait, so your editor does writing for you?
No. I was struggling to get the words out, but I had to force it because we were on a schedule. You know, she was going away. She wasn't going to be able to edit while she was away. And I had to finish that rest of that book. So, because I had it, I had a pre-order set in Amazon and I have to load it by Wednesday. So I was cutting it real fine.
Jeez, woman, that would make me have all the panic attacks. I don't the pre-order until the book is done.
Well, normally I don't either.
Yeah.
I sort of just caved to the pressure. Yeah. I just had two releases that really didn't do well. And it was a wrapping up of a series that it's not the most popular one, but I hate leaving things hanging. And I decided 2024 was going to be the year that I wrapped up all my open series before I started anything new.
Yeah.
And so I wrapped up one series and they were only short, like 45,000, 50,000 word novellas sort of size. But they didn't sell. And so I had to rearrange my whole schedule to write something that I wasn't really interested in writing, but that I thought might actually sell. Mm-hmm. That's why I had to force the story, basically. I wasn't ready to write it, and I actually had lost all my notes. It was a book two and a duet, and I'd lost all my notes about what I was going to do, and I couldn't find them anywhere. Like, I keep them both on a hard copy in my desk, and I keep a copy on Google Docs, and neither of them could I find. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what I did with this, or did I just imagine writing the notes as I was doing it? I don't know. So that's why that book was so hard.
I've had that problem before, and that's actually why I like Discord. I have I shouldn't tell you what the Discord server is. I have a outline Discord. I'm the only person allowed access to it. It's not it's not an open Discord, but every book has a channel of just notes. It's got links, it's got stuff that I want to do in the future, it's got reference stuff, and I can access it from my phone, I can access it anywhere. I don't like Google Docs. It's Word, but it's not, and it's limiting. And if anybody has access to your Google anything, like my editor has access to my Drive, Lisa has access to stuff, they can get access to other things, and people who has access to their drives can piggyback on certain things. So I don't like that kind of sharing aspect of the drives and permissions and whatever. So that's what I like. One of the things I really like Discord for is all my crazy.
Makes sense. Yeah.
I recommend it to other authors because it's really helped me. And
I just can't wrap my head around it. I probably need one of my kids to sit down and go, no, Mum, this is how you do it, you know?
Yeah. No, I like writing I am old school like that, but I, in my 20s, started having arthritis because of my It's really weird. I have tiny hands for my height. Like I'm almost 5'10" and my hands are the same size as my friend who's like 5'3". I think I have arthritis, but I don't know if I officially have arthritis, but in my 20s, my doctor said it. Basically, I have like tiny hand arthritis or something. I don't know, but it's hard for me. I have, I wear compression gloves just from all the typing. Yeah. I wear them overnight.
No, I do too. Absolutely. Yeah.
They're amazing. That's the other thing I always tell like newbie authors is like, I've sent links and I'm like, start wearing them now, you idiots. Yeah. Because, you know, every newbie's like, oh, it's no big deal. It doesn't matter. I'm like, do you like your body? Because you're going to need it. But absolutely. No, I have, my problem is grip strength. Like, and I know you're supposed to use the balls and the, you know, what a, you know,
yeah.
We're all.
Who has time for that? Let's face
it. And nobody forgets. I have them. But like, you know, we're all perfect in our health. I barely remember to do the dishes in my laundry sometimes. I don't have clean pants right now. Like, come on, man. I'm trying here.
At least you're wearing pants. It's 10 o'clock at night.
It's got a hole
in
the crotch, but I just found. But, you know, like, yeah, I'm wearing clean pants. I ordered some more from Amazon. And she's like, I don't know how I just all of a sudden I'm like all. And it's always like the same time. Like, I don't. It's like all my pants are fine. And then all of a sudden. All of my pants just have holes. Yeah. All like, do you even notice that? It's like, what the hell was I doing all of a sudden that all of my pants or all of my shirts all have freaking holes or stains or something? Like, did I have a bad week and go on a spree of sitting on thorns or something? I mean, I get it. They all start to deteriorate at the same time after so many washes and like whatever. But it's just that weird randomness of life, and you're just. Like, what? Why do I have holes? And like, three pairs recently all have it in the same spot in my inner right thigh, about 3 inches from the crotch. And you're just like, what am I doing?
and then you have to go and buy new one. I think that's even worse. I think I'd just rather walk around with holy pants because I hate going shopping.
Well, see, I'm like that eccentric author where I have. The one style of pants, the yoga pants, boot cut or flare, whatever. I don't like that everything is high waist. I would rather have low rise.
I'm stuck in
me
the 2000s.
Too. I hate high waist. That's, I feel like they're in my freaking tits. Awful. Like I hate that trend, but whatever. Yeah. That's I'd rather have the wide cut instead of the tapered than, you know, whatever. But they're the ones I've been ordering for like 4 years on Amazon. So I just went on Amazon and ordered like 5 pairs or whatever, and I'll just rotate them in. but they're black. That's all I wear.
Yeah. I hear ya.
So not to be like back to your the books that didn't sell.
No, that's
like,
fine.
Back to your failure. That was actually the topic we agreed to talk about beforehand, taking risks. My most popular series, and I actually just talked about this recently too, so I'll go real quick. My most popular series, I almost didn't publish. It's a college age reverse harem, a new adult paranormal romance. And I had written it, and like I started writing it in like 2017 before that genre blew up. I had read one. And I already have a reverse harem. I think
completely. I'm a fan, big fan.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you were the one that when we were talking, and I was saying I hadn't done like a really like 14 million guys, and you're like Seraphine Thomas. Have you know her, right? Like you write. Yeah, that was you. Okay. And so to me it was like a younger Seraphine kind of thing, and that sounded fun. But it was a set guys thing. And so the genre wasn't that blown up, but so I wanted to play with it a bit. And but before that, I started in more novellas. So I wanted to do some quicker, spicier novellas now as Aaron and male, female, or, you know, with a couple guys. And I thought it'd be, you know, no big, I've known for some spice and even novellas. And I wrote them pretty fast, and I was super into it, and I was super excited, and I was just going to call them Naughty Witches, and I thought it was going to be some real fun. And I was having trouble with editors, but I figured novellas would be, because my longtime editor, she had some medical issues and she had to step back. But then I was going through like just the trial and error of finding a new long-term editor. And I was like, okay, you know, novellas are, talk about risk-taking is finding a new fucking editor. Oh God, it's such a nightmare to go through that process of finding a new editor. It really is. It's worse than dating.
I agree. And once you find them, you're gonna marry their ass, and they're never getting away.
Oh, my editor now. We've been together for like almost 4 years now, and I've legit told her that if she tries to leave me, I will drive to Indiana and kidnap her ass, and. She makes mistakes. We all do. You're never going to find the perfect editor, but we jive, we vibe, and I can like text her or, you know, and that's more important than just, and we work well together. But she got promoted a couple years ago and she dropped all her other clients and I'm like, you are not leaving me. She's like, no, we're friends. Your stuff is fun. So I'm the only client she still has. And I'm like, you're going to be old biddies in the retirement home. I'll make sure you're taken care of after your husband's gone, even. And she's like, how do you know he's going to die first? I'm like, he dies first. You're not leaving me. But anyway, so I did these novellas and I thought, you know, okay, fine. It's not going to sell like Seraphine. They totally fucking flopped. I mean, it took a year of their sales to even recover the cost of editing them. It was so bad that I was like, I had three more written and I didn't, I was like, that's not even worth editing them. It's so painful too when your kids don't. And it's like, you don't understand why. So starting a new series is always a huge risk that people don't understand.
No, and one of my series I write, I left room for spin-offs and of different characters. And people keep asking me for the spin-offs of the other characters. But I did write one set of them. And again, they didn't sell. So why I find it... I don't think I can commit to writing the other two just because, like you said, the cost of editing and it's the cost of covers and it, you know, the various costs that are involved if you're not. This is as much as I write because I love it, I still want to be covering my costs.
Cost of what you could make writing something else.
And I want to, I want to be able to at least cover the costs. And if I can't do it with that, then I have to refocus my attention on something else that is possibly going to sell or try something new. And maybe one day I'll come back and write them. But I think readers forget that these are our careers and we need to be making money to continue to do what we're doing, you know?
And even like I've tried to explain, and I'm not very, for as much as we use words for our living, sometimes expressing ourselves is hard to be eloquent. It's like, it's not even about the money. It's like, and I say it like I goof around and say, you know, oh, my books are my kids, or I feel like they're my kids. I feel like they're my kids sometimes. And it's almost like you're setting up a kid to fail. I don't want to work on something that I know won't be appreciated. Yeah. And I have to give a shout out to my fans. I have some really awesome fans. And they're like, oh, you got some really great reviews. And I was like, every person who read it must have reviewed it because that's about the only people who read it. Like, I think that one book has like 200 and something reviews. And I'm like, oh, children, those are the only people who read it.
Yeah. Mine haven't even hit 50 reviews. The two I've just released. And I'm like, I can't do this.
But yeah, it's heartbreaking when they don't sell. And it's like you were saying, it's not about necessarily about the money, but it's like you put so much of yourself into your books. And but it's also like, even if you didn't take it as your career or you didn't take it about money, it's like, I like painting. I like hobby crafts. I like painting. I like puzzles. Lisa and I became friends because we're both into video games. We're both gamers. That's how we met. And we've both said, like, we don't like overly complicated video games. We like video games that we like to play and enjoy. I don't want to be pissed off. I don't want to be frustrated. I don't want to be annoyed. I don't want to be, well, that makes it sound like my books can annoy me, but I don't want extra emotions that are negative. If I'm going to put my time, my valuable time and effort into something, I want to have a more positive outcome of it. That's how I feel about my books too. I don't want to look at something in the end, you know?
Yeah, the negative thoughts get into your brain, don't they? And they actually affect your productivity, I guess, because, you know, even if, you know, it's not a bad review, it's you're looking at your sales and going, oh, people hated that. What did I do wrong? You know, that's what you're questioning, where you went wrong, I think, and what didn't they like about it, or you know, why didn't they like it?
Yeah.
Those kind of things.
I'm too sensitive. I'm not allowed. And I know everybody's always like, well, suck it up. That's part of the business, or you've got to get better armor. But I've started I've started responding back to that. Like, do you like how my books give you the feels? Do you like that my books make you cry? That happens because I'm a sensitive person. So if you want me to toughen up, so will my books. Choose. If you like that my books make you feel a lot, well, then you got to deal with me being a little bit sensitive and maybe be nice to me. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. My fans are super nice to me.
Yeah, but you know what? If you say to someone, I don't like your face, they're going to be upset, aren't they? That's the same sort of thing as them, you know, someone saying, I don't like your book, you know. It's personal. It's personal for an author. You know, if someone doesn't like their book, that's a reflection on they don't like you. Oh, you know what I mean? It's a personal thing. I think so anyway.
Well, no, it's not that they don't like you, but they don't like what you put yourself into.
Not even that. It's not that they don't like you, but it is, you do take it personally. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There is some part of you in all of your characters. So yes, yeah, I do get it.
Yeah.
It's always sad when you release something like a trilogy and people pick up the first book and then less people pick up the second book and like half the people pick up the third book.
Yeah.
That hurts. That hurts a lot. That always makes me want to never look at the numbers again and go cry in a hole. Maybe that's why I only like writing the first books of trilogies. I have like 7 first books and I keep not writing second books. Maybe because I know people only like to read the first books of mine.
I know. And I don't even think it's that I don't think that's it. People aren't willing to put in, they're not willing to wait. No, how am I saying this? They want to wait until it's fully published. I mean, so yours, the one you released in one weekend, wasn't so bad. They could read it one after the other. But releasing a new book and then the indefinite time, they don't know how long they're going to have to wait for the next one or the next one or however long the series is.
Yeah.
And so they're not willing to pick up the first one. And what they don't realize, though, is if they don't pick up that first one, then
people won't continue writing it.
Continue it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've gotten a lot of emails saying that they're not going to continue Artemis until it's all done. And I've basically replied that, like, I get you. I do. But be careful, because a lot of authors stop writing series because people have lost interest and they don't make enough money to continue it. So it's like a chicken egg situation. You don't want to invest the time until you know the series will be completed. But authors aren't going to invest the time unless they think people are going to keep the interest. So it'll be interesting. I am planning on finishing Artemis this year. It will be interesting to see if like numbers shoot up or if people forgot about it because it took 26 books.
I do find that sales have dropped off. Like COVID was great for, let's face it, COVID was great.
Yeah, we didn't want a global pandemic, but it was good for reading. I get it.
It was good for reading, you know what I mean? And I have found that pre-orders and the amount of people reading. Maybe, I don't know if it's just my work, but in general, it's not.
Plus inflation, let's be honest. If you're, a lot of people are hurting, and the price at the grocery store is ridiculous. And if you got limited budgets, man, like, I get it.
And books are the first thing to go, aren't they? You want to eat, as if you don't need to read. You have to eat, you know? You've got to put petrol in the car.
Yeah, but it also seems to be the one that is undervalued a lot of times, because people will still pay to buy a movie through Amazon, but then I always see too much of, oh, I never pay more than $5 for a book. Why? A book will last you more than a 2-hour movie. Why will you pay $12.99 for a movie, but you won't pay more than $5?
No, I agree. I agree completely. I think that we need to be, that we need to value ourselves more, and then hope that,
and we don't do that as women. We really don't.
I just think that we
are authors.
We've sort of been not so much taught that's what we're worth, but that's when you first get into it, you're worried that people aren't going to buy your books to start with, so you keep your prices low, or the cost of a book low. But I mean, when you think about how much work and effort and everything that goes into it, I think we should be valuing ourselves higher.
Yeah. I want to give a big thanks to Lexi for joining me for such a fun conversation. Also to all our fans for checking out this podcast. I hope you like what you heard and decide to stick around. Please make sure to subscribe to the Fat Books Podcast on YouTube or Spotify, or that little purple icon on your Apple device. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook to stay up to date on who we're recording with and when episodes are coming out. There's also a Patreon if you want to support the podcast and keep it going. Now let's hear a bit about what Lexi's got going on.
So thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Love having a chat with you.
Always, you're lovely.
And I've just released the final book in the Seductive Sin series, which is Reverse Harem, and 7 Deadly Sins, She's a Gluttony Demon, Fated Mates, that kind of thing. It's a lot of fun. I love writing it. I'm glad it's finished. the
closure.
Next. Yeah, the closure, it is. They got their happily ever after, and, you know, it was fun. I have got one releasing on the 31st. Spies Like Us is the second book in the Mythos duet, and they are undercover spies trying to bring down a sex trafficking ring. Out on the 31st of May. Again, Reverse Harem. And then what I'm about to work on is the 7th book in my sci-fi reverse harem Galaxy Circus series. She finds out she inherits a circus and discovers it's run by aliens, and hijinks ensue, tentacles and all. So I'm excited to get back into that one and write that book too. So lots going on.
Thanks for staying till the end, and hope you enjoyed it.